Mike, in a previous Left in the Law segment, we took up the case of Stephen Donziger, the New York lawyer who pursued Chevron for its contamination of the Ecuadorian Amazon and helped win a multi-billion-dollar verdict against Chevron in 2011. After that ruling, Chevron pulled its assets out of Ecuador and fought back by bringing racketeering charges against Donziger in federal courts in the U.S. And last month, Donziger started a six-month prison term after a federal judge in New York City found him guilty of criminal contempt of court. Well, Mike, can you summarize Chevron's case against Donziger, which some legal observers say has some merit? Was he a righteous warrior for justice who somehow lost his way in the legal jungle where he found himself?
Well, Jen, I think the existence of that dichotomy is proof of Chevron's success in their effort to, quote, demonize Donziger. That's been their strategy from the start. The judgment against him was obtained primarily from the testimony of a witness who Chevron paid hundreds of thousands of dollars. The irony is here that the real criminal activity, the real racketeering conspiracy, which are charges of which Donziger was convicted, took place on the part of Chevron's attorneys, Gibson, Dunn, and Crutcher.
I mean, isn't that it's a common legal strategy to turn the tables on whatever party has pressed charges against you to kind of reverse? It's kind of a legal version of projection.
Yeah, it's if you look carefully at the charges of which he was convicted, they evaporate. You know, they basically, at first Chevron thought they would overturn the judgment as a sham, but basically they could not do that. There were over 2,000 soil samples showing pollution. There was
even setting aside the question of whether one of the experts was bought off. I mean, there was a quite a sizable set of sources of evidence to support that claim. Is that right?
Well, yeah, the expert that was supposedly bought off was not considered by the judge. His testimony was irrelevant. So whether or not he was bought off, the actual evidence that was the basis of the decision did not involve anything that he said. There were a large number of experts as well as local community members and a huge record supporting the judgment. And Chevron basically abandoned their effort to overturn that part of the judgment. And they went after Donziger. They did so by bringing racketeering charges against him.
Which is a bit unusual, right? This is...
it's totally unusual. They couldn't get a prosecutor.
With the mafia.
Yeah, they couldn't get a prosecutor to raise those charges. But the judge was determined to nail Donziger. So he succeeded in getting a private law firm appointed, one that had worked previously for Chevron. So people who were actually at the trial describe it as bizarre. There was a huge space given over to Chevron and all their counsel, and Donziger was practicing in a closet. It was a massive opinion, a 497-page opinion, that basically concluded three things, that this one expert, Cabrera, had been bribed. Also, efforts of bribery of the guy who actually wrote the opinion, who's a Judge Zambrano. And finally, efforts to bribe Zambrano. Nobody disputes that no money changed hands. These are all charges based on obscure shipping records about who might have had something at some point. And I think the most dramatic thing that's happened is that Chevron also tried to arbitrate this case. There's an international arbitration board that deals strictly with commercial law. It's very powerful. Like if Uruguay, for example, wanted to make selling cigarettes illegal, tobacco companies went to this international board and got a ruling saying that Ecuador could not do that. They're in many ways more powerful than nation states. But the governor of Ecuador has considerable resources. So in that arbitration hearing, they ended up presenting testimony from the witness upon whom Judge Kaplan relied. And that witness, Alguera, basically said he had lied, that Chevron had assisted his relocation from Ecuador. He was broke at the time. He couldn't afford to come see his kids in the United States. They paid him $326,000, and he not only admitted having been paid massive amounts of money by Chevron, but he admitted that his testimony about who had ghostwritten what was a lie. And yet that testimony is the pillar, remains the pillar of not only the RICO judgment against Donziger, but also later of his disbarment in New York and every other bad thing that's happened to him.
I think part of what's disturbing and confusing about this drama is not the aggressiveness of this Chevron's battalion of lawyers coming up against this, you know, band of guerrilla fighters on Donziger's side, but that a number of the legal community have sided with Chevron on this. The fact that he was disbarred in the state of New York seemed to give weight to Chevron's charges against him of corruption, and though some of this was based on the rulings of this judge against him, his refusal to hand over a computer with his contacts. But how do you understand his disbarment? What was that about, given all of what you just described, that on the face of it, even if you don't read the 500-page report, looks pretty fishy?
Well, the disbarment proceedings took place before a referee named John Horan, and he wrote a passionate opinion that Donziger should not be disbarred. He should be allowed to continue practicing law. But there was an appellate body, and the appellate body refused to accept Horan's recommendation. And, you know, a really great lawyer, Martin Garbus, who was appointed by Jimmy Carter to go observe Venezuela elections, he was a lawyer in Goldberg v. Kelly and big due process cases in the 70s and 80s. He has worked with Václav Havel in Czechoslovakia drafting their constitution. He reviewed this document and said, "This perfunctory decision reads like it was written by a Soviet-era apparatchik carrying out a political function to help a major corporation get rid of its main critic, which is just what it does."
So is this case against Donziger and his series of defeats that led him to be in prison and starting a prison, 6-month prison term last month, is it symptomatic of the influence of the fossil fuel industry or big oil on our legal system?
Of course. You know, they do what they need to do. If it's a small matter, they'll not expend many resources to oppose it. But Donziger dealt them a serious blow. It was the atrocities in Ecuador, the poisoning of hundreds of square miles, was done by Texaco, who basically admitted what they had done, which is simply never try to carefully dispose of any of their waste, thus poisoning rivers, wells, water of all kinds. What Donziger's judgment said was
that... And just to explain, Chevron bought out Texaco and inherited its liability problems, right?
Exactly. So it looked to me like, well, Chevron overpaid for Texaco because they've got this $9 billion judgment. So Chevron has marshaled every resource they've got, and they have more resources than God. In the United States, the fossil fuel industry basically dominates the entire agenda, politically, even spiritually, by ads, morally, certainly, legally. Judges, the judge Lewis Kaplan, who presided over this case, was a former tobacco industry lawyer. The depth of Chevron's penetration into the shaping of this country's laws and mores is incalculable. Only now, as fossil fuels are coming under really serious examination, is that beginning to waver. But we see how the purchase of Joe Manchin by these fossil fuel companies is going to block likely legislation that would lead to undermining them with supporting various alternate forms of energy. I think what's happened is that they are shooting so hard now because, in truth, that judgment lives. If Donziger can get to a country that will recognize that judgment, which was not in any way undercut by the RICO finding against Dunziger himself. Then,
and that's why the judgment itself seems to have been very much sidelined by all of the focus on Dunziger and kind of procedural issues of
exactly
how he went about the case. I want to, before we stop with our discussion of the case of Stephen Dunziger, the David against this massive Goliath of Chevron, what about the Ecuadorian people who still contend with massive unremediated oil pollution? They have not received compensation, even though, as you say, that initial claim that produced the settlement was not itself overturned. Are there lessons here about how, once you take on the global fight of big oil, you can just drown in this stuff? And is it worth the fight, or is there anything strategically to learn from this for attorneys or legal teams that are fighting big oil?
Perseverance furthers. I think this case is only beginning, Jen. I think Dunziger is going to get out of prison in 6 months. There's a very good chance, given the general shift of opinion in Europe and around the world against fossil fuel, growing recognition that it's killing us, it's burning us up, that he will ultimately prevail. I think he's done remarkably well. The opinions about him now have never been more favorable. If he can just hang on, and I think he will, he looks like a stubborn, tough dude, then I believe that the shift of general sentiment around the world is moving in his direction and is moving away from Chevron. So the only lesson I can think of is keep on keeping on.
Okay. And the fight in the global South is in some ways more severe, the fight around the global warming and the climate crisis. But there is also perhaps a moral responsibility in the global North, and particularly in more protected areas, to see this as a larger fight to save the planet and support these cases.
Yeah, there are thousands of Ecuadorian women, men, children who were either killed or had their lives destroyed by Texaco and now Chevron's deliberate destruction of their countryside. That should not be overlooked. That should be really closely looked at. That should be accepted, and we should never look away.
And you're saying that if you get caught in the minutiae of the procedural questions raised, that perhaps any team of attorneys with enough resources can raise enough doubt about the other side and proceedings, that this, when you looked at the legal evidence against Dunziger and his legal team, it didn't amount to much, that a lot of this was part of the process any legal team embarks on when you're putting a case together.
Yeah, they were excellent litigators, but to the extent that people believe it's a close call, there's on the one hand, blada, blada, but on the other hand, blada, blada.
Right.
Chevron has already won. I mean, it's really a relatively straightforward. Chevron committed atrocious acts in the Amazon. They were caught for doing it. Now they've managed to demonize the person who articulated just exactly what they had done and who got some small recompense for the tragedy of what happened.
Yeah. They are trying to mutilate the messenger.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, let's continue to follow this case. You're saying it's not over, but you're saying it's a worthy fight, because not all fights are worth the energy that has and resources invested in them. And there is a concern that Stephen Dunziger himself has become the central protagonist on the stage with Chevron, and that this has marginalized Ecuadorian people who still suffer under the effects of the oil drilling there. But you're saying the fight is still an important fight.
Well, yeah, Chevron's first tactic was to say the lawsuit was a sham. that this damage never really happened. But when it became overwhelmingly obvious that, yes, it had happened, these people did suffer. This land was destroyed or damaged for decades. Then their strategy became demonize Danziger. And that's currently what's happening.
Yeah. Okay, well, Mike, we'll return to this and follow it as it unfolds. You're saying that Chevron has and the federal court in New York does not have the final word on this. It has not. There's no clear denouement to the story at this point.
Nope.
Okay. This is Jan Hawken and Mike Snedeker talking today about the case of Stephen Danziger as the David coming up against the Goliath of Chevron Company.